The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, the Leaving Cert, believe it or not, is winding down this week, with the majority of students set to finish their exams by Friday. However, a lot of anxiety remains about CAO choices and the logistics of trying to study abroad, with results not set to be announced until the 3rd of September. We're joined by Brian Mooney, guidance counsellor and columnist with the Irish Times. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, a couple of things. The first thing that I wanted to ask you, and it's just a yes or a no, really. Given what we've seen with predictive grades over the last two summers, is it time, like this with blended working and so on, to have a complete reset of how we handle the Leaving Cert?
The answer is yes, Pat, but we've actually been moving in that direction for a number of years, because every time we revise a curriculum, we're bringing in far more project work, you know, different forms of assessment. So it's actually been happening. The State Exams Commission has been moving away from a terminal exam as the only aspect of assessment for a number of years now. But we need to move in that
but
direction.
We have an opportunity, you see, having got teachers to agree to grade their students in a particular way, even though they had so many reservations about it. But they've done it now, so why not continue?
Well, I agree with you. I think that, you know, we have to continue moving so that this idea of taking people and sitting them in a room with a pen writing frantically for 3.5 hours or whatever, I mean, it's so out of date in terms of assessing somebody's ability. You know, we have to move with technology, and we have to allow people, you know, with the proper criteria, because let's face it, Pat, students whose families have, you know, good income, good financial support, can build in the kind of supports which will assist them in doing very well in project work, etc. So we have to ensure that there's absolute fairness in terms of assessment, so that we're not building an advantage for people who already have advantage.
Now, let's talk about the exams themselves. What are you hearing about the exams? Were the papers easier? But although that might not make a difference if they use this famous bell curve for every subject.
Well, the problem, Pat, is the exams have been easier. They obviously were easier because they had to give wider choice. They had to give a greater range of questions. And in some subjects, you know, students had far more time to do the questions that they would have had to rush through in previous years. They will be corrected, and obviously students have a chance to actually review those. The bell curve will be applied to the assess grade process. So the assess grade process will be handled in the same way as it was last year. Teachers have now submitted their marks for each student. Every student has had to have a different mark. So there is a ranking, even though the teachers don't have to write it out. And that will be bell curved in the same way as it was bell curved last year. And if it ends up at the end of July with that process being finished and the two of them have been dealt with as two separate processes, that should, if it's somewhere like last year, leave higher level marks about 10% higher than they were in 2019. But then every student who has sat a paper where they get a higher grade will be given that grade. And that won't be bell curved, in the sense that
because you
if they
can't
get a higher grade,
curve,
they're being guaranteed that they'll be given it.
Yeah, you can't bell curve when the whole student body does not do the exams. That's the problem, you know, because some people mixed and matched, did both in some subjects, did one in maybe a predictive grade in three or four subjects. So you can't bell curve only part of the sample.
You can't, no. So effectively, if a student has got a higher grade in the paper where they've sat the exam already or are sitting it this week, then effectively they have been guaranteed they will be given that higher grade in the process. So, as you say, you know, how do you bell curve that? It's not possible.
Yeah. So it's advantage those who actually sat the exams.
I think it's huge advantage to those who actually sat the paper. And I think some students have made a strategic error in saying, well, look, I think my teacher is going to have looked after me and all that sort of thing. What they don't take into consideration is that that process has to be standardized based on the initial, you know, junior cert result that each student had, which was part of the assessment process. And as we know, last year The State Exams Commission had to cut back on some of the more over-exuberant assessments by some teachers, and that obviously led to some court action, which didn't actually result in the SEC being found to be, you know, remiss in any way. So effectively, you know, students who are not sitting papers may live to regret it.
Now, Brian, what do you think will happen generally across the CAO? Points up, points down, points the same?
I think points will be up this year, Pat. There are a number of factors. The first thing is there are about 2,500 extra students coming from the Irish system. There's about 5,000 extra applicants coming from continental Europe who would traditionally have gone to the UK, who are now targeting our universities because in the UK they're now international students. They could be paying 30,000, 40,000. Whereas if they come here, it's 3,000 euros. So you can see financially why Ireland would be more attractive. We have had a group of students who did the Leaving Cert last year, who took the exams in November. They got higher offers from last year's applications back in February. And in some of the High Point courses, they have already got 10, 15% of places already gone to those students. So those places are already spoken for. And those students will get those offers at the beginning of July, along with adult applicants. So from the perspective of your standard student this year, there's an awful lot more competition for places. And in some areas, it's very difficult to create additional places because they're linked to placement outside of the university in a hospital or in some other context in which you have to have a one-to-one placement.
So, Brian, what does that mean for someone who's filled in the CAO form initially and they have a change of mind? They need to maybe be a bit more realistic about what they aim for or what?
Students have until Thursday of next week, Pat, to actually finalise their CAO choices. And for many applicants for the CAO, their initial application was just that. They really didn't put too much thought process into that final list of choices. So this week is really important for students as they finish up exams or as they begin to reflect on those final options. And they need to look at, they have 10 choices at level 8, that is the higher degree. They have 10 choices at level 6, 7. The key component for all students is to ensure that they have listed their list of course choices in a way that they are guaranteed that they get offers, or at least one offer, if not two offers, on their level 8, level 7, 6 list next, after the results come out on the 3rd of September. So effectively, you really need to research. You need to go on the Qualifax website, look at all of the courses in the area that you're interested in, make sure that you research them fully, make sure you're aware of all of the elements of what you will be taught. So many students who drop out each year do so on the basis that they never really fully research the content of the course. So students need to spend this week really knuckling down and looking at what their options are and making sure that their choices are broad enough to ensure that they actually have an offer. Don't look at last year's points as the only criteria, because points may go up, and don't predetermine what you might get yourself. Some people will massively underestimate what they're going to get, and there will be lots of tears, mainly from females, in August or September, when effectively they do far better than they anticipated and they didn't put down their dream course. Of course, put down your dream course if, in fact, you're doing the subjects and at the level that are appropriate, and always put down, you know, lower down your list courses that you're pretty much guaranteed to get the points for. So there's a lot of work to be done this week by students.
Now, one of the concerns is, for example, in the Netherlands, the college acceptances close on the 31st of August. Irish students don't get the results until the 3rd of September. What will that mean?
Yeah, it's a big problem, Pat. I know our minister, Norma Foley, has been, you know, working behind the scenes to try and ensure that the Irish students, the places are kept open. But from the, say, for instance, the Dutch system, where an awful lot of Irish students have gone in the last number of years, even if their, you know, prime minister were to ring them, it's down to each individual university to look at how they deal with the late arrival of the Irish results. And they're also under pressure this year, because I mentioned to you earlier there about, you know, students applying to Ireland who would have gone to English universities. A lot of students on the continent who would have gone to the UK are now also targeting those degrees which are taught through English, predominantly in Dutch universities, but also in a number of other Northern European universities. So they are under pressure with lots of applicants that they might not previously have received from other EU countries. So whether they're going to hold those places open for Irish applicants is down pretty much to each individual university. And one would hope that they would look at the quality of student they've got from Ireland in the last number of years and hold those places. But it's ultimately down to each college. So please God, that will come through for us. But it is a worry for students who are not going to have those results until the 3rd of September.
Mm. So presumably when they should also fill in their CAO form, because they might have to fall back on the Irish system.
They may well have to fall back on the Irish system. And obviously also the students need to be very aware of this, Pat. You know, there are huge opportunities for students in the further education system to actually get reserved places. I mean, in the beginning of August this year, thousands of places would be offered out to students who did further education courses this year. Now, I chair a number of the boards of further education colleges, and I've seen examples, for instance, in Blackrock, where I chair the board, six of our students on our business PLC got BESS in Trinity in 2020, you know, and similar results from our boards in Stillorgan and in Bray and in Sallynoggin and other areas and right across the country. So effectively, students who are looking for specific courses, who are applying for them for this September, as well as applying to the CAO, they might also look at putting in an application to their local further education college, where if they do well in that course, they pretty much have a guaranteed place in that course, maybe on far higher points than they may get in this year's Leaving Cert in 2022. So students need to be strategic, Pat.
All right. I'll bring you one of the comments from our News Talk listeners. I'm an English teacher and I'd be happy to see more project work, but I completely agree with Brian that socioeconomic issues completely skew students' levels of attainment. Households with reading, etc., embedded in their daily lives always present better project work regardless of the students' own abilities.
Yeah. And that is so true, Pat. The more we move away from putting everyone in a room where they're all under the eye of an examiner and we give a variety of other options, you can be absolutely certain that those families with financial and economic advantage will, as every parent will, do their absolute utmost that the quality of work being submitted is of the highest possible standard. And students who may come from more disadvantaged backgrounds where they may not have the resources or the financial resources to be able to produce that quality of work will be at a disadvantage. So we have to be so careful as we move away from terminal exams that we're not actually disadvantaging those, you know, in that situation.
Someone trying to rob your car or something in the background. So I'll let you go. Brian Mooney, guidance counsellor and columnist with the Irish Times. Thank you very much for joining us.